Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to this episode of The Gut Goddess Show. And this week we are talking about the fact that you are worth the effort. You're worth the effort. And I'm going to be unpacking that. And it's a good episode. I've just recorded it and it's a bit of a flow. It's from the heart. I really felt in my gut that this is something to talk about, probably because I needed to hear it myself, but that this is really going to resonate with you. So I would love to hear your takeaways from this episode. So do get in touch either on Facebook or Instagram at Supernaturally Healthy. You can find me in both of those locations. You can DM me, message me. I honestly love to hear from you guys. Otherwise, just to let you know, if you are listening to this in real time, on Monday the 15th of July, I am running my thyroid masterclass. Yes. So if you've been listening to the last couple of weeks during my When You're Tired of Being Tired series, then the thyroid masterclass is for you. If you know or maybe suspect your thyroid is off and your energy is tanked and crappy, you wake up tired, you spend all day being tired, no matter how much you exercise or how well you eat, and you're totally frustrated by the fact and you have not the foggiest of what to do, where to begin, if your thyroid is off, or maybe you know your thyroid's off, but everyone's telling you your results are normal and you just feel like you might be going a little bit crazy, then join me in the workshop. You can head to supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/thyroid. So that's supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/thyroid to sign up. It's 60 minutes long. It's free, but it's awesome. Just sometimes we think free things are kind of crap. This isn't crap. It's awesome, but it's free because I want you to be empowered and equipped and educated with the tools that you need to be your own health advocate so you can feel the way you want to feel. So I'd love you to join me. Otherwise, let's get on with today's episode. So I'm excited to record this episode with you. Thank you for putting me in your speakers or earbuds or cars or wherever you are. I do really appreciate your time. I really do. And I want to talk about, this episode is going to be the last couple of weeks I've been doing things quite practical about tiredness, fatigue. We've been looking at strategy, sleep, food. I love a good practical podcast. Maybe that should be the name of this podcast. The Practical Health Podcast. Not quite as exciting. But this week, I want to talk a little bit about, just take a step back and kind of have a bit of a pep talk. So I haven't got many notes for this. So I just am going to go with the flow. And it's something that I was reminded of today and last week with a client. And I just feel like it's something we should talk about. So grab a cup of tea. I've got a fizzy water. I've just had a mug cake. And I want to talk about the idea that you are worth the effort. So I'm going to share a story. I'll share a couple of stories, but I was working with a client a couple of weeks ago. And at the start of the session, I asked, okay, what do you really want to focus on during the session? What do you need? How can I help? What's happening? And she basically explained that it was around organization and meal prep. And she just, you know, when life was busy, she just didn't get stuff organized and then ended up not making food choices that made her feel good. And that's what she wanted to focus on. But really, when we drilled down, there was something much deeper happening. So on the surface, all of those things make total sense. Meal planning, you know, just getting healthy food in your house, on your plate, in your meals requires a level of organization. It just does. There is no way around it unless you want to hire an assistant, a chef, or one of these like great meal box plans. Like, you know, Mindful Chef does like a healthier version of like then say HelloFresh. It requires some effort of your time. It requires investment, either of your time or of your money. You know, these personal chefs and meal boxes are slightly more expensive, Or you cannot spend as much money, but spend more time in preparing the meal, going to the shop, getting things organized. So on the surface, that seems like a really justifiable thing to spend time thinking about, because you need to get your shit together in order to get food on the table. I often email and write and say to people, you know, that healthy salad or soup or meatballs is not just going to arrive magically in your packed lunchbox for you to reheat. It's not. That delightful shepherd's pie with lots of veggies in it isn't just going to make itself. It needs to be thought about. Its ingredients need to be bought, and it needs to be made and then eaten. So there's lots of steps involved. And it would be really easy just to think, oh, well, it's just a time issue. This client is just busy. And she is busy. She's like a lot of us women. We can often do several things at once. You know, for me, I run a business. I have a little baby. I do voluntary things. At one point, I was also studying. We can have lots of spinning plates. I had someone message me today in my Nourish group who's like, I'm on the PTA and I'm also on this and I'm also on this and I also work and I also have this and I also have this. And we can do a lot. So time is a real factor. It is. Like, it just is. So I'm not going to say here, we all have more time than we think. Time is an issue. But what I discovered with this client, and to be honest, with nearly all my clients, when I'm talking about this issue, is that this is not really about time. This is about your value, your worth, and spending time, choosing to invest time in yourself. So I suppose it is a little bit about time, but it's actually deeper than that, of how valuable you think you are, because we spend our time on the things that are valuable. So if you do not have time to get organized with your food, chances are there could be a deeper issue that's really down to you're not valuable enough. You don't value yourself enough to invest time in that. Because what you're saying is that my work, my kids, my church, my life, my community, my group that I'm in, my friends, all of their needs demand my time more than myself. All of them are more important. Getting them organized, them happy, them sorted, them fed, them prioritized is more important than me prioritizing my own health. And this is something I come up with time and time again with clients, because a lot of our big areas of resistance when it comes to creating healthier lifestyles, when it comes to making those dietary tweaks that we've been meaning to make for ages, you know, maybe you know you've been having that caffeine's not doing you any good. It's just sending you to the toilet every coffee that you have, or making you really bloated, and you know you probably want to remove it for a while and you've been meaning to do it for ages, but it's just like, oh, well, I don't have time to do it or think about it. You know, all of these things require a certain amount of effort and change, and we're met with resistance. So when we're looking at making any changes, if you say you have a thyroid problem, or maybe you have PCOS, or maybe you want to lose weight, or maybe your joints are funny, or maybe your energy is buggered, then if you are looking to make a change in terms of your diet and really focus, really drill down and make some healthy changes so that you can feel better, get your life back, get your energy back, and just stop worrying about your weight, your joints, your size, your bloating, your pooing, your hormones, your cycle, your hot flushes, whatever it is. In order to do that, there needs to be change, because obviously what you're doing right now isn't helping you. So there needs to be some changes. And that's when we meet this resistance. And that's often when we stop, or we accept the resistance. We say, oh, well, I don't have enough time. Life is too busy. I'll do it at some point in the future. But chances are that putting off isn't actually about time. It's actually about your self-worth and knowing that you are worth the effort. Another thing I see this all the time is when I'm maybe chatting to potential clients. Now, a lot of the time people will say to me, they can't afford to work with me. Now, I totally get that for some people, that is 100% the case. When you do the math, the numbers do not add up. Totally get it. And I do not mind at all. But I know for a lot of people, and I only know this because that has been the case for me for many years, and until I became aware of it, that actually when people are saying, oh, I can't afford to work with you, Kezia, and this isn't about just working with me. I'm not bothered. Well, I'm bothered if you work with me. I'd love to work with you. But, you know, this isn't, I'm not pitching for my services. This could be about affording organic broccoli or buying organic grass-fed meat or increasing your food budget or going for that massage or going to the chiropractor. It could just be, oh, I can't afford. You know, it's so easy for the excuse of, oh, I just don't have the money right now. But really, a lot of the time, what people are saying is that they are not ready to value themselves enough, especially when it comes to our bodies and our health. As women, we often don't value our bodies very highly. So if someone's wanting to work with me and I'm charging, I don't know, £700 or £800 for it, if they don't see the value of their health of at least that much money, then they're automatically going to think they can't afford it. If you don't see the value of your body as at least that, I don't know, 60 quid to go and see the chiropractor like I did this week, or the value of how you feel as that extra 50 pence for that broccoli, that organic broccoli, or that extra pound for that organic grass-fed butter, if you don't see, if so, what you're saying often, and now only you would know the truth of this, and if this resonates with you, is that I am not worth that extra expense. I'm not worth that financial investment. I feel too uncomfortable to invest that extra pound in my organic butter because it says something that I don't believe in. It says that I'm really worth spending more on. I'm worth investing in. I'm worth putting my resources into. I'm worth this investment. And if you don't feel that and believe that, then you are not going to be able to make that financial decision. Whether it's that extra 50p for the broccoli, or whether it's that, I don't know, thousands of pounds for whatever else. It really comes down to, are you valuable in your eyes? Do you really value how you feel? And I actually find a lot of the time that women don't. We don't acknowledge how we feel. We don't think it's important that we should feel energized. We devalue so much of our experience. So I've had women, honestly, I've chatted to women that have maybe told me health conditions that have been horrendous health conditions that have gone on for 20 years. 20 years. When I ask them, how long has this been the case? How often? You know, and they're getting daily symptoms of things that have been going on for 20 years. But often the response is, when I'm like, I think I could really help, let's work together, is, oh, well, whatever, 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 I can't afford this, or something's happening in my life, now's not the right time. And of course, I don't know people's lives. There is elements of timing to these things, 100%. But often it's not actually about the money or the time. It's that they can't commit to investing into something, their time, and it might not be money, sometimes it's time, their time or money into something that is not in alignment with the value they have on themselves. So if you find yourself telling yourself that story, oh, I'd love to go and see a chiropractor, or I'd love to work with Kezia, or I'd love to buy more organic vegetables, but I can't afford to, really just think about that. Is that true? And is, because there's a practical element of just literally doing your numbers, you know, you spend money again on the things that are important to you. So you might be spending lots of money on not taking on your lunches because you don't take a packed lunch. And that could equally be £100 a month that you spend just on getting a lunch out. But you spend £5 a day, which most people would spend at least £5 a day, 25 quid a week, £100 a month. Imagine an extra 100 quid to your food budget. That would make a huge difference. You could totally get organic meat for an extra 100 quid for that. So there's that practical, knowing your numbers, strategic side. But deeper than that is this idea of, well, do you think you're worth it? How, and just as an experiment, how would you feel about investing £100 into yourself tomorrow, into your body, your health, your energy, your skin, your hormones, your belly, your relationship with food, your relationship with your body? How would you feel if I asked you to spend £100 on that tomorrow? Just think about that. How would you feel if I asked you to spend £500 on your health, your body, your energy, your hormones, your relationship with food, your relationship with your body, your fertility, your skin, whatever it is. What if you were to spend £500 on that tomorrow? How would that would make you feel? How would it make you feel if I asked you to spend £1,000 tomorrow? Or £2,000 or £5,000 on your health, your skin, your energy, your relationship with food, your relationship with your body? How are you feeling? Is there a part of your brain that is going, oh my goodness, Kezia, that is absolutely absurd? Or you might even be kind of angry at just the thought of someone spending £5,000 on their relationship with food. That might make you feel angry. Might make you feel hopeless or frustrated. Or really uncomfortable. Imagine if you spent £1,000 tomorrow on your health. Does that make you feel almost, squirming? I just couldn't do that, Kezia. However you're feeling, take note. Take note of that. That's really important information. Because we're talking hypotheticals here. You don't have to spend £1,000 tomorrow. This is all just ideas. And if just the idea of spending £1,000 or £5,000 or £100 on yourself, on your body, your health, your energy, your belly, your relationship with food, your relationship with your body makes you want to squirm and feel uncomfortable or makes you feel angry, then there is a belief underwriting those emotions. There's something at the root of that. And I think this is a really, really big thing. This is this resistance, this belief, that these beliefs that we can have can hold so many women back from living in the health that is available to them, that is possible, that is an option. As women, we tolerate so much crap because that's what we've learned to do over the thousands of years that women have been on the planet. We have, for as long as I know of in history, been oppressed and told to do certain things. We have been controlled. We've been property. We've been used and abused, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So we are very used to being tolerant. We're very used to staying calm and carrying on. We've been used to making do. We've been used to, just tolerating lots of things. Our DNA, our history, our ancestors, our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-great-grandmothers manage things and they carry on. And that's good. That's a good trait that we have. But what if we didn't just tolerate that bloated belly, that feeling of just tiredness, of anxiety, of depression, of those sore joints, that fatigue after any sort of movement, those painful, you know, pain from endometriosis, that weird relationship with food, that pre-diabetes, that zero libido, that those horrible periods. What if we didn't tolerate them? Because we don't have to, but we have historically been taught to be nice, compliant, and tolerant. But when it comes to your health, actually, there is so much health available to us. And I think often it's like we get invited, we have access to this huge, beautiful private garden. Like we have the keys to it and we've been given the keys when we were born. And it's like, you know, these posh places in London or there's a couple of places in Glasgow where there's all these like private gardens in the middle and we have access to that. We have the keys like to these gardens. So it's awesome and it's beautiful. There's a gardener and there's a nice fountain. There's, you know, nice grass and cute little animals and I don't know, whatever you would want in that garden, it's there. But you never go in it because you think you don't deserve to. You kind of feel awkward. Well, you're not posh enough or grown up enough or you don't really deserve to go into that place and you really shouldn't really belong there. And it doesn't really matter. It's not that important. The road is fine. The road's comfortable. The road is functional. The road, you can get places. You can sit down on the pavement. That, you know, it's totally functional and fine. You don't necessarily need the garden. You've gotten this far, haven't you? Why do you need to go into this fancy private garden? It's fine. And it's maybe this garden isn't really real anyway. Maybe it's all in your head. Maybe it doesn't really exist. Maybe it's all like a fiction going on. Maybe it's just all, you know, you're just getting older and actually this garden was like a vision from your youth and you've had kids now and you've aged slightly and it just actually the garden isn't really real. It's not available. You can't go into it. That's kind of what it's like with health sometimes. We can learn and get and borrow and acquire these keys to this amazing garden that is health and full health. I mean, holistic health, not just eating well. This is so much more than just food. But we have keys to that garden. But over time, it's kind of like we just hang out on the road with this private, next to this private garden. And we never go in because we think, oh, well, I'm fine here. I'm kind of used to this. And when you think about it like that, it's like utter madness. And I think that's why I have a really low tolerance for feeling rubbish. I know that there is this whole garden of health available to me. And my job is to get my keys out, shove it in the gate and figure out how to get in there. Take my first steps. Then the first steps might be finding the flipping keys. Next step, finding the key that actually fits the lock. Then it's turning it. Then it's, you know, there's lots of steps. It's not that all of a sudden you're just going to walk into like incredible health and your life is perfect. No, it's not perfect. After that, health comes and it goes up and down and it's not linear. It's this cyclical kind of thing and it's beautiful. There's seasons in the gardens. There's winters, there's springs, there's autumns. There's all of these kinds of different things. But we all deserve to go into that garden. We do. And you are worth the effort making these changes. Let's take an example of like, say, caffeine. You know, making the effort to ditch caffeine isn't about restriction and deprivation and beating yourself up or bullying yourself or being better. It's actually because you're worth it. You deserve to feel good. You deserve to feel at home in your body, feel like you belong there, to feel like your body is working with you and for you. You deserve to have that energy that really does last. You deserve to be in your body and happy with it, happy how it functions, happy how it feels. We belong to ourselves and to our bodies. You don't want to ditch caffeine because Kathy told you to ditch caffeine or I'm trying to lose weight because I don't. No, this isn't about bullying. This is because you are worth it. You can feel awesome. You deserve to feel awesome. And if you think ditching caffeine is going to help with that, then for goodness sake, I mean, if you think about it that way, of course you're going to experiment with that. Or sugar or gluten or whatever it is. Or it might be not to do with food. It might be to do with yoga or going to that therapy that you know you've been meaning to go to and putting off because, you know, it's not immediate or urgent. Or maybe whatever it is. It's so important that we realize that we are worth the effort. Because I'm not going to lie, this stuff can take effort. Writing a meal plan, writing a shopping list, buying the food or ordering it online can feel like an effort. It sure can. Putting that in your diary, doing that every Sunday or Monday, there is some effort involved. Going for a run, going to a yoga class, finding a yoga class that you like, whatever it is, takes effort. For me, I've been doing a lot more therapy recently, weekly therapy for the last couple of months. That takes a whole lot of effort for me to get to. There is nothing in my body that wants to go to therapy every week, but I go. A whole lot of effort involved in doing that. And I don't do it because I'm punishing myself, because I have to, because I'm so rubbish and useless. I'm such a mess. I need to go to therapy. I'm doing it because I'm worth that effort. I'm worth taking my ass to that therapy chair and having the deep discomfort that is talking about my feelings, which honestly literally makes me want to throw up every week. But it's good for me. I'm worth that effort. And you are too. Another way of thinking about this week that has come to mind is, and it is a way of really drilling this home in a different metaphor, is thinking about my cute baby boy. So I have a little son. He's 9 months old, nearly 10 months old, and he's as cute as a button. If you don't believe me, just follow me on Instagram. I occasionally will post pictures of him and he is the cutest thing. And I'm totally biased, but it's also true. Anyway, This week, I just realized he had an infection all around his bum in his nappy area that I thought was nappy rash, and then it got a bit worse. Anyway, went to the doctors. They thought it was an infection going on. And so they'd prescribed some antibiotics, oral antibiotics. Now, my son's never had antibiotics. I'm not against antibiotics by any means. They can be life-saving. But I want him to avoid, I literally want him to have antibiotics when it is life-saving. This infection in his nappy area was not threatening. He's not actually been sick. It's a very non-threatening thing. So I was really unsure about whether I should give him antibiotics. You know, you go to the doctor and they say, yep, this is definitely the course of action. And you, as a mom, I don't want him to have an infection. I want this to be over as quick as possible. I don't want him to have horrible stuff on his bum. The doctor said so. And I just spent a bit of time thinking this through. What did I feel? What was my motherly intuition as well as my kind of limited expertise on this area? Anyway, and so I came to the conclusion that I had two options. I could take the antibiotics and then do an intentional kind of recovery period for the next sort of, to be honest, year, in terms of supporting his microbiome after having the antibiotics, because antibiotics just kill all bacteria in the body, and we're primarily bacteria in the body, so it's a big deal. So I could do that, and that's totally an option. Or I could try a more natural, holistic route, try some herbal remedies, some of the things I would use if I was in that position, and obviously adapt them to an appropriate level and dosage and whatever for a child. And I could do that and get my herbalist that I use to help with that, get different support in. And that was another option. And then if that failed, obviously I could take the antibiotics. So I could try that natural approach first in terms of removing the infection and with natural antibiotics and see how that goes. And the big factor between the two of it was just effort. So taking just the antibiotics prescribed over the next week had minimal effort in that I just had to give them to him four times a day. That's a fair amount of effort, to be honest, but you know, that was it. Whereas trying a natural approach was a lot more effort. It involved me making like a protocol, a plan, getting my like nutritionist head on, thinking about Milan as like, if he was a client coming to an infection, what would I do? What would I have? What should he eat? What foods are really antimicrobial? What should he be eating more of? What should I add more into his diet? What kind of topical remedies could be helpful? What creams could I make? What herbs would be useful? I'll contact my herbalist. What things should I soak him in the bath? What should I put in his nappy cream? What could I diffuse while he's in with his essential oil diffuser while he sleeps? All of these areas. And that took a lot more effort. But now, this isn't about whether you take antibiotics or not. This isn't about that. This is just a story. So don't fixate on that. But I decided to go with a natural approach, even though it was more effort. Why? Because he's worth the effort. He's my son. And his microbiome is one of the most important things to me. Having grown up with a terrible gut microbiome, which is your bacterial ecosystem internally, my gut microbiome is really important to me, and he is really important to me. So he is worth the effort, 100%. And you could see that, you know, if you've had kids or nieces or nephews or just cute little kids that you know, they are worth the effort. Of course, you're going to try and do whatever you think is best for them. And in this case, my motherly intuition told me that trying this more natural approach was best for him during this time. And I might use antibiotics if it doesn't work. I'm totally fine with that. But he is worth the effort. And yes, this natural approach is more effort. I have to plan things. I went out to the shop today to get certain ingredients, and I need to pick up this herbal prescription. His nappy cream is a total nightmare to put on him. You know, I'm trying to force feed him lots of these foods that he does not force feed him, but give him foods that, you know, he'd rather just eat a banana, you know, all of these different things. But he's worth the effort. He really is. And you are too. You're worth the effort. You're worth taking the time, taking the energy, going through that resistance. You're worth the finances. Whatever that level is for you, whether it is £10, £100, £1,000, £10,000, you are worth it. Your body is worth it. Your experience of your body is worth it. Your experience of your life, your energy levels, you are worth the effort. And I really want you to know that this week. That is my message. That's my pep talk. It's so easy to be distracted with, oh, I don't have time, or I don't have the money. And whilst they can be relevant and important to consider, often that's not really the root of it. The root is, how valuable are you? How valuable is your experience of your body? How valuable is it? How valuable are your feelings about yourself every day? How valuable is your health to you and your experience of, you know, your body? That's often what we're really talking about. And if you're struggling to make progress and to see breakthroughs, chances are that there's maybe a belief that you aren't worth this, that you don't deserve this, that other people are more important than you, that you would feel, you know, you'd feel bad to invest time or money in yourself over other people. Everyone else deserves better than you. You're actually just worthless or a failure or fat or frumpy or, you know, these are actually often these underlying beliefs that we have that are really getting in the way. So I would just really challenge you. Do that little exercise that I asked of, if I asked you to spend £1,000 tomorrow and how that made you feel. Just reflect on that if you journal. Or if you are an external processor, feel free to DM me. Let me know, what are your takeaways from this episode? How has this made you feel? What is the main takeaway you've taken? I would honestly love to hear from you. I know you might listen to podcasts and people will say, oh, I'd love to hear from you. I honestly would. Like, seriously, guys, this is me in my home office talking to myself, recording a podcast. I am a sociable person. I love to hear back from you. And I would love to hear your response to this episode. How did this make you feel? What's your main takeaway? What is going on for you during this episode? I would love, love, love to know. Otherwise, have an amazing week. And remember, if you're listening to this in real time, my thyroid masterclass is on the 15th of July. It's totally free. It's an hour long teaching workshop where I'm going to be explaining to you how you can get your energy back and the practical blueprints, so the three foundations for supporting your thyroid naturally. So have an amazing week. Thank you for giving me your time and for being here. I am really glad that we got to hang out a little bit. And if you haven't ever said hello to me, come on over and say hello. Otherwise, lots of love. Bye.